Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and we appreciate you kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 9:05 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I'm joined by Seth Habhager.
Good morning, everyone.
We are having a good start to your day. We got a Then Ain't Right story a little bit later. Some good stories of the day we'll wrap up things with. Going to kick things off with some entertainment news. Want to let you know, of course, Morning Magazine around the corner. And, of course, Badger Basketball around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward
right
to
around the corner, yeah.
All that coming up for you this morning. That's going to be some fun stuff. Let's dive right into the entertainment news to kick things off. And Garth Brooks, this is not going to surprise anybody. Pre-sale tickets for Garth Brooks' year-long Vegas residency went on sale Monday and sold out that day.
Of course they did.
He talked about it on Monday's Inside Studio G, quote, "What an unbelievable day this was for us. Every show in 23 is pretty much done, a whole year in one day." It's kind of incredible. I don't want to say impressive. It's kind of cool to me that he like genuinely still gets kind of taken back by some of these things.
That's exactly where I was going to go with this. It's like he sounds like he's like still in awe of it. Really? It's all done already?
I don't want this to sound mean. Garth Brooks is not an actor. Like,
no.
We've seen him try it. I mean, the Chris Gaines thing, just, I mean, that did not go well.
Yeah.
I bet that he, you know, if he was given the time, he could do like a lot of actors and do a line or two or whatever.
Yeah.
But he just isn't one of these people that when you see him in interviews and things like, you see the genuine real deal. This mm-hmm. is who he is. I'm not saying you know who Garth Brooks is because you've seen him in an interview, but what you see is what you get.
More or less, yeah.
So when you see him in these things and he's talking about this, and I remember when he got inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame, I believe it mm-hmm. was, and he was talking about it, and he could barely like talk about it. He was so emotional about it. He's pretty much what you see is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who has done just about everything in his career and won just about everything you could win,
mm-hmm.
and he's still getting kind of blown away by these things.
I love the idea that he's still, there's still that little bit of gee whiz about him, you know. I'm just a guy, you know. I can't believe this.
Is it kind of interesting, too, that the whole Vegas residency thing is still a thing?
Yeah.
It makes sense that it is, but it's still kind of interesting to me that it's such still a popular thing and that, you know, artists like Imagine Dragons or Carrie Underwood or Kelly Clarkson, Cher,
mm-hmm.
like all these people have Vegas residencies or did have one. Madonna had one, I believe. Like, it's no longer, like, it used to be people would make fun of a Wayne Newton or somebody
yeah,
like that.
Engelbert Humperdinck
yes.
kind of thing. Yeah.
Go, oh, they can't sell out they can't sell out
they
things
can only
around
do it
the
in
country.
Vegas, right? Yeah.
They can only do it in Vegas.
Right.
Now it's kind of like retirement
yeah.
for artists. It's kind of like, hey, you know, you can go to Florida or you can go to Vegas and do a residency.
Well, and that's it. I mean, I think it speaks to the demographics of people go to Vegas now too. I mean, there's
yeah,
all ages
yeah.
kind of thing. So yeah, it does make sense. And like you said, I don't think the stigma is there that there once was, like, oh, you must be on the down slope of your career
yeah, right.
that you're, you know, having a residency in Vegas. No, it doesn't matter anymore.
I find it interesting when you hear actors be vulnerable, not so much with their performances, but with their careers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, well, there's Leonardo DiCaprio has been in the public eye for three, 4 decades now.
Yeah, since he was a kid, basically.
Yeah. You know, granted, his off-the-field life, as far as his dating life, has been, you know, talked about and dissected quite a bit. So you could take that here or there. That's one subject. But just focusing on his performance, his acting, there's never been a bad thing said about him.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that's ever worked with him on set has enjoyed working with him. Directors bring him back. Writers want to write for him. Actors want to work with him. He's one of those guys.
Yeah. Professional, yep.
Yeah, and his. While I think he's also one of the more talented actors in the game,
mm-hmm.
He's also always been one of the more professional ones, and people have always respected that about him.
Absolutely.
Especially his auditioning process.
Hmm.
So that makes this story that much more interesting, and I really appreciate when actors share these things because they don't, especially when they don't have to.
Right, exactly.
It's really hard to imagine Titanic without Leonardo DiCaprio, but director James Cameron says he almost botched his audition. James says Kate Winslet was fantastic from the get-go, and when Leo first came in, he had an attitude. James said he asked Leo to read some lines with Kate, and Leo told him he didn't read for parts. James stopped, shook his head, and thanked him for coming by. That's when Leo said, "Wait, if I don't read, I don't get the part," just like that, and James told him, "Yeah, the this is a giant movie that's going to take him years to make. So he's not going to mess it up by making the wrong choice with casting. Leo reluctantly agreed and was real negative about it. But the minute James started the session, Leo turned into Jack and nailed it right from the get-go. All right, I got my guy. He auditioned a couple more people, but had Leo in mind from the get-go. Leonardo DiCaprio owns this story and says that he went into it with a bit of an attitude. And in his younger days, he didn't like doing art. He wanted to do indie films. He didn't want to do the big budget stuff. He was there because his agent told him, you got to do this movie. You got to do this. I'm sorry, you got to do this audition. So he showed up for the audition and was just going to basically play it, you know, phone it in,
right.
But he's come out and said, James Cameron could not be more wrong about this. Leonardo, ask Martin Scorsese. He's auditioned for roles. He's spoken for parts before. Mm-hmm. He didn't start out being Leonardo DiCaprio. What's Eating Gilbert Grape or any of those early movies. It was more he just did not want to be there. Mm-hmm. This also speaks to something where there has not been a lot of bad noise about James about Leonardo DiCaprio. One of the most difficult directors to work with in human history is James Cameron.
Right.
And so while James Cameron's doing this to try to make himself look better, he actually looks worse to most of us actors in this, because anybody that knows their stuff about James Cameron knows he's like Werner Herzog. There are certain actors who would rather work with him than James Cameron. That says something.
Well, that's kind of an obscure reference, but people who know film and know what, like certain directors, I mean, we can say Hitchcock.
Yes.
You know, he was a guy who not very easy to work with as an actor, that kind of thing. But at the same, and you're totally right about this. So,
Well, James Cameron has just come out in a recent interview. He just came out and he said, so a couple months ago, he said, the next Avatar's coming out and I've got the next five written. And we got five Avatars that are going to be coming out in the next 10 years or 20 years or whatever. A little late to the game, man. But okay, you want to jump on this bandwagon. But then he just said recently in an interview, if the second one doesn't do good, then forget it. The rest aren't going to get done. So you're basically telling the fan base, hey, get your hopes up, but don't get your hopes up. But hey, look for while Marvel and these other organizations are telling you phase 6 and 7, things are going to come out in the 2030 and stuff.
Exactly.
He's sitting there kind of it's up to you, putting everything on the fan base and everything's on you guys. Yeah. And you guys got to make this successful. And he's not saying that he has to make his money back like most directors. No, these got to be break records.
Yeah.
Be world beaters.
That's
and
all
everything.
He wants to. That's all he's looking for right now. Yeah.
It's all his legacy is built on now in his head is being the biggest box office of all time with Titanic and Avatar and these things. And it's. I know I'm a struggling actor. I should not be doing this. I should be begging James Cameron to cast me as a bit character. Mm-hmm. I got no interest, man. I've never auditioned for any of his films. Never. I don't think I ever will.
Yeah.
There's a certain I've gotten to a certain age and a certain level of my career where if I never act again, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. The crazy person in me wants to be the greatest of all time. That guy, that part of me is always going to be clawing and nailing to do it. But at the same time, it's kind of I get it now. I get that what I was given, I can do a lot more with it than just make box office numbers.
No, exactly.
I can teach people. I can make a living. I can work still and be perfectly fine not dealing with people like James Cameron.
You'll be just fine.
Yeah, there's a lot of directors out there. There's a lot more work. You don't have to settle anymore to just work with whoever.
Yeah, I have my doubts about the new Avatar movie
being as big as the first one.
For a lot of different reasons. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's a gamble. Well, I guess we'll see what happens. But
I have a feeling that it's going to do well the first week. I'm very curious to see how it does the second and third week. I want to see how it does word of mouth wise in that.
The novelty of the new Avatar film, you're right, that first weekend will be pretty big because people remember that. But what happens after that?
Well, we're about to talk about fatigue, and it's interesting because people are already using that word fatigue for the second Avatar, and it hasn't even come out. It hasn't even been out or anything like that, really. And people are already kind of getting tired of it. It's out. I believe it's out already, but you know what I'm saying. They're already a little beat up by the idea of 3, 4, 5 of these. So I don't know.
Is there enough story there? That's the...
Yeah. Enough original story.
Yeah, there,
because
there you
that's
go.
The other part of it is that he has been taking a lot of shots in recent years that Avatar is basically a ripoff of this idea and this idea put together and all that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Yeah, I wonder how much is how much is on there.
Yep.
Now, we say that and have to continue that kind of conversation into this next one. Mm-hmm. The Marvel Cinematic Universe is rolling hot and heavy again and taking a couple of years off around the pandemic after taking a couple of years.
Yep.
And while some fanatics can never get enough, others are losing interest. In a new poll, 36% of Marvel fans say they have fatigue by all the content that's coming out.
Hmm.
The poll was mostly directed at movies, but there's also streaming, TV shows, games, and all that.
Right, right.
Only 20% of DC comic fans feel fatigued, but there may be a reason for that. They don't really get to see much, and they can't seem to figure out what they're doing.
Exactly. There's a lot in that one, that part of it, yeah.
81% of Marvel fans would watch anything released in the franchise, while just 67% of DC fans would do the same. That is daunting for those fan bases,
yeah.
Or for those companies.
Yeah, James Gunn has his work cut out for him, let's just say that.
Yeah.
I'm in that 81%. I would watch anything. And that's me. I'm a hardcore fan, basically. So, but I can understand why some people would be getting a little bit much, because it's a lot of stuff. And for those of us like me who grew up on the comics, and I know the history, I know the characters, seeing where they put that in, that's part of the fun for me.
Yeah.
Is seeing where they put little, you know, winks to the fans and stuff like that who read the comics or whatever. But if you're not a big fan, I can understand how it gets to be overwhelming, considering, you know, all these storylines coming together and everything like that. So that, to me, that makes sense. That really does.
For our generation and the generations around ours, mm-hmm. Where Seth and I are in our you know, late 30s, early 40s, that kind of thing, we grew up.
He just made us younger,
but. and a bit of the younger generation.
Yeah, that's true.
Too,
yeah.
The one right after us too, I would say. You know, early 30s generation or what have you.
I think you're right.
We waited and waited and waited for new content from the Star Wars universe, mm-hmm. from the Marvel and DC worlds and everything, and all we ever got was a Star Wars Christmas special and a couple of like superhero movies that really weren't superhero movies. They are very like, it wasn't really until Tim Burton started doing the Batman movies that we started to even that we started getting even just a glimpse of what they could be. But even those were kind of hokey and still kind of playing on the old Adam West Batman TV show.
Sorry, correction. You were right. You said Batman. I thought you were going to say Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. I knew what you meant.
Yeah, sorry.
But with that, that started it all. And then it kind of, you know, you have the Christopher Nolan trilogy with the Batman stuff that went all real, like reality kind of really heavy and
pretty
that.
Realistic, yeah.
And then you have this, where we're in this day and age now, where the Marvel Universe. But we had to wait so long that I don't think that you're alone in that, Seth. I think the majority of us in this generation that do like that stuff can't get enough, because we're still – this is – when's the last time you were like, oh, that's too much nostalgia for me? Because all this starts with nostalgia. It all pings on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what keeps you coming back is enjoying the stories, enjoying the actors and all those things.
Exactly.
But I don't begrudge anybody who's not into this stuff.
Oh, like, no, not at all.
More power to you, man. There's plenty of things to watch out there. In these franchises, these companies, they're doing just fine. They don't need a, you know, they've got a big enough fan base that they're okay.
I think you're absolutely right in that.
I think, though, you have to be careful. They tell actors this all the time. Jude Law is a great example of this. Jude Law, great actor.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Came out the gate and just could not get enough, could not stop working. Like, every director, I want to work with you. Steven Spielberg's pulling him out. Martin Scorsese, all these different people. And so he's working a lot. And it got to a point where there was a stretch there where almost every month there was a new Jude Law movie coming out. And I think it was like Alfie that he did, a remake of Alfie, and it was one of the last ones he did, where all of a sudden it was like, and then boom, he's gone. And it wasn't because Jude Law decided to stop acting. It was because casting directors are like, oh, you are great. You're killing it in this audition. But I just saw you in a movie like 2 weeks ago. We can't overuse you.
Yeah. Oversaturated.
Oh, people are going to just know you for this part or what have you. And all of a sudden, a couple months go by, a couple years go by, and Jude Law ain't finding work. Now he's doing okay again, but that is rare that happens. It doesn't happen usually. There's about 15,000 people standing behind you that want to take your job, and they take front of the line over you, so you're back to the end of the line again, no matter how great you are.
Yeah, he's become a character actor now.
He kind of has.
Before he was a leading man, but now he's a character actor.
Yeah. It is so difficult. There are actually classes on what Samuel Jackson has done with his career, because it's so it. You can't think of more than one, two examples of a guy who is in a movie almost every month, and nobody's gotten tired of him. Like, people are not, casting directors, directors, audiences, they're not sick of seeing Samuel Jackson and stuff. That doesn't happen.
No.
That just doesn't happen, man. It's so rare. It's incredibly rare. And that's just actors, let alone movies, subject matter.
You got it, yeah.
It's
genres,
not surprising.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not. So
I am interested to see, though, if they're going to, you know, we talk about this with football. We talk about it with other things, too. Are you going to kill the golden goose?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to keep this surviving? How do you keep that fresh so you don't lose too much either way and the fatigue doesn't become too much? How you balance that, there's no blueprint for. There's no like, hey, this is what worked for so-and-so. You're good luck. That's all you can say is good luck and you know, pace the stuff out. I think that what they – like where Marvel wins people over is, hey, this is what's coming out next month, but guess what's coming out in a year?
Mm-hmm.
What's just coming out in 2 years? Showing that you have a plan really gives people some incentive to stick around.
And I think the other thing that they do that a lot of other people who are organizations that are trying to do something similar to what Marvel has done – the care they put into each project.
Yeah, yeah.
It's obvious. I mean, just look at – I haven't seen it yet, but the new Black Panther movie.
My God.
I mean, when you get someone like a Ryan Coogler and you give him the space to do what you know he can do, that's – you're being careful. You're understanding what you've got. And sure, at some point, it may be too much. In the end, it'll be like, oh, you know, people will be like, okay, that's it. I'm done. It's too big, too much. Yeah. I just don't want to do it anymore. And it may get to that. Who knows? We don't care.
No,
just keep it coming,
no.
You know.
And I think that that's where they're going to make their money for the next 10, 20 years.
Yes,
is our fan base, is our age group and everything. And that's not going anywhere. It's one thing if your fan base is like 17 and under or something. They don't have a bank account. If your fan base has a bank account,
is it 20 to 30, 40? Yeah, you better believe
you're
it.
You're probably okay. It's going to be fascinating to see how it works out, though. I'll tell you that. And you're so right. I got goosebumps when you just said Black Panther Wakanda Forever. I watched it and I was blown away by it. I have never seen a franchise do such a good job with letting somebody go, honoring somebody's legacy, while also continuing the story.
Yep.
I mentioned the Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yeah.
I think they did it with that, with Harold Ramis and everything to a degree, but not to this degree. Like, it was really impressive to me
what they did.
And the performances, the acting in it, it's just unparalleled. Like, it's... what Angela Bassett did in that movie is Oscar caliber, and I'm not saying that lightly. I vote on the Oscars. I have a feeling about this, and I'm nominating her.
That'll be fascinating to see during as the nominations come out for the Oscars next year, whether or not someone like her gets, because I know Black Panther got some buzz when the first one came out, and they got some Oscar love. Is this going to be – are actors finally going to get their due for being in movies like this?
We saw Heath Ledger win an Oscar, Best Supporting Oscar for The Joker, but that was posthumous. That was a bit of that, a lot of people felt.
And the exception to the rule.
Yes.
People were talking about it like that.
Yeah, very much so. I can't nowadays, they got the 10 best pictures, so it's not a big deal anymore to get nominated for best picture.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean what it used to, at least. It's still a big deal. It doesn't mean what it used to. Still does as an actor to have those individual recognitions. Mm-hmm. That still matters a lot.
Absolutely.
I know that I'm putting her in my nominations. She definitely is in my nominations. I don't know the categories. I don't know all the the contestants yet necessarily, so I'm not going to say she's going to win it, but she's got my vote right now. Angela Bassett's one of the greatest actors I've ever seen in my life, and she shows like she's still bringing it, man.
And that's going to help if you get someone of her caliber in this kind of role. Absolutely.
We'll take a break. We'll come back, have some more fun here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Kind of wrapping up our entertainment segment here, I wanted to touch on some new stuff on your small screen.
Okay.
And we're just going to go up until today, And looking at that, just a couple of stuff came out. Yesterday you had all the parades and football and all that
right.
That was going on. There was also the premiere on Paramount Plus of the new Criminal Minds, Evolution. Original cast members, Joe Mantegna, A.J. Cook, Kristen Vargas, Aisha Taylor, Adam Rodriguez, and the great Pageant Brewster all returned. I haven't gotten to watch it yet, but I watched every episode of the original show. I cannot wait to see what they've done with this. That's kind of cool that they brought it back, I think.
Am I alone in thinking that Joe Mantegna should be considered a national treasure?
Yes. Yes, 100,000%.
I love Joe Mantegna.
God, I love what an Joe actor. Mantegna. Yeah. Yes, yes. He's a great, great. He's so good in that role, too. He's so good in that. Also, new on Netflix, The Knoll Diary. Justin Hartley from This Is Us falls for Barrett Bloss from Station 19 over the holidays. It's a holiday movie. Oh. I can't think of what it is. They are promoting it right now. I think it's going to be on ABC or it's on one of the networks that carries football. maybe Fox, I'm not sure. The worst holiday movie I've ever seen in my life. Like, and it's just the trailer I'm seeing. But it's everything. It's not even like, when did this happen? Because this is not my wheelhouse.
Right.
When did this happen with the Christmas movies where they don't even pretend anymore, like to have a story or a plot? It's just city person comes to town, runs it. They doesn't agree with, doesn't like the guy in town. He's gonna, they're gonna try to buy up the store or whatever, and then they fall in love crazily and all this. And by the end, everything's wrapped up and they're singing Jingle Bells.
Yeah.
Like, every single Christmas movie is like that now, and they're not even trying. Like, it used, that was always the case, but they at least tried to like throw something in there to make it a
mix
little
it up, right?
Yeah, mix it up. Now they're not even trying. Like, it's just like they're basically just telling you, like, hey, this is just a way to kill 2 hours.
Yep, basically. Well, and it's funny because, and I think it's because everyone knows all the plots now.
Yeah,
because they never change; it never deviates. Okay, now this is one I got to put to you, Mr. Huge fan of Dolly Parton.
Ah, yes, yes.
So they've got that, I believe it's NBC.
Yeah,
is having her holiday movie coming up here in a couple of weeks or whatever it is. So, which looks pretty similar to those other ones,
It
too.
Does, it does.
So I'm asking you, man, is that something you're going to check out?
I don't really watch holiday movies. Yeah. I don't know if I will. If I was going to, it would be that one because it's Dolly Parton. And I am never, ever going to say anything bad about Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton could come into this room right now, shoot me in the foot and look at me. What you gonna say about that, honey? And I mean, thank you, Miss Parton. Thank you. I appreciate you doing that. Dolly, thank you so much for not shooting me in the leg. Thank you for shooting me in the foot. You are just a sweetheart. You got 5 minutes. Could you sit down and talk? Yeah. So a hypocrite right here. Because that one, yeah, completely.
No, I just sorry.
That's,
I had to
no, you're right. That's funny, though. That is funny. I didn't see any of the trailers for that, though, or anything.
Yeah, I did see a couple of them, so...
Today, you have coming up at 7 o'clock tonight on Comedy Central, the stand-up special, Jeff Dunham, Me the People, on Eastique.
Jeff Dunham.
He's something. He's good. Also, today on Disney Plus, the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special.
Oh, that comes out today.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh, I'm excited.
Kevin Bacon is in it as Kevin Bacon. It's supposed to be really good. They put a lot of money and time into this. I know. James Gunn is very, really, really been promoting it. Like, hey, you guys got to check this out. It's going to be so much fun. One of the interesting things about this, James Gunn did his homework on this and found out it is the only thing that Marvel has ever released where they don't have a villain. There's no villain in it. Isn't that weird?
That is kind of weird. Playing to their strengths, I guess, because villains have always been an issue in Marvel movies. So
they have been.
Maybe let's just get rid of the villain. Let's talk about that.
I think that's going to be pretty interesting.
I agree.
And on Disney Plus, the Hip Hop Nutcracker is also for streaming. You can stream that there.
Wow.
Coming up this weekend, on Saturday, you've got some fun stuff, of course. You've got Dion Cole hosting the BET Award, 22 Soul Train Awards. Dion Cole is hilarious. CBS. Has the Griot Awards, and then on Sunday you got Sunday Night Football, and on HBO Howard Stern the Bruce Springsteen interview. So that's all on your weekend stuff, and there's more going on this weekend, like with movies and different things. And you can find out more about that by listening to Director's Cut this Sunday.
That's right.
That is what we call a tease, everybody. be sure to join us after Seth Faces the Music this weekend. Seth Faces the Music, of course, 6 to 8 every Sunday. Be sure to catch that. Seth, what's your theme this week?
Money.
It's a gas.
Yeah, I think I'll open it with that one. But yeah, it's about money. It's
right on.
Apropos for this weekend, right? Big shopping weekend.
That's a fun one. And you know, Seth has so much fun and does such a great job with this show. It's not only a great way to hear a different mix of music, songs mm-hmm. you may have not heard before. It's been a while you've heard. But you have great little like out of bits and different things you do in between these segments and everything, too, that I just really enjoy. And I know my dad and so many other people out there listening do.
I love the I think enough people have heard me now. And when James and I were doing the request show and the mm-hmm. and the rock history show, how we love those little historical tidbits. Well, I do that on Seth Face the Music as well. So if you like those, hey, another reason to listen.
Be sure to check that out, everybody. And then, of course, stick around because after that, you have Director's Cut. Mm-hmm. This is our arts and entertainment show. It's our mm-hmm. chance to bring on local actors, musicians, photographers, jugglers. I mean, anybody out there, bloggers. Mm-hmm. We have them all on, and we want to have them all on. We know we've got a great state, a great area with that when it comes to
absolutely.
That. Please reach out to Seth and I, anybody out there, any entertainers out there, mm-hmm. and we'll get you on the air. We'll make it work. Schedule-wise and everything. Mm-hmm. This Sunday, Seth and I are, as we were saying, going to go into what's new in box offices, what's coming new to theaters this weekend and coming forward here. We're also going to dive into a couple of other fun things like how long a show should stay on the air. What is
interesting
that getting into that and diving into some of the numbers behind that and everything. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it and plenty more things that Seth and I are going to be talking about. And like I can tell you, just to tease a little bit here, if you remember FRM Fridays, we had a lot of fun with that. That is kind of, we're still going to have musicians on the morning show here from time to time, but we've kind of, you know, Connie's busy. So we're not going to probably have FRM Fridays anymore, but we will still be having tons of musicians on our airwaves when it comes to like Director's Cut and things like that. And next month, a wonderful young lady that joined us, Anna, who came, she's in Point. She came in, she played some keys for us. She is going to be on Director's Cut. Mm-hmm. We've got some other musicians we're talking to that are going to be joining us eventually. Looking forward to that.
Yep. We got a big one, too, coming up. We just can't announce it quite yet. We're not ready, but
we will say one of the biggest acts in this area for a long time.
Yep.
So we're looking forward to having them on. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be a blast. And encourage you not only to spread the word about the show, but to artists spread the word about the
Please
show.
Please do, yes.
Looking forward to that. And be sure to join us this Sunday and every Sunday from 8 to 9 for Director's Cut.
Mm-hmm.
Take a break. We get to some news that Seth is filling in for Melissa with today. And we'll come back with some more fun here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Very lucky I did not say my old classic rock call letters right there with this Def Leppard playing in the background. I was almost did it. I was like right there and almost did it.
I am this close to doing a thing of bumpers for like 80s music. I'm this close. Nothing but 80s music.
Some music you'll probably hear in the bars this weekend and everything, and that is the closest I can come up with a segue into our next topic.
Nice.
It may help you this weekend, some of this conversation. Someone asked bartenders to name annoying things customers do, and here are a few things bartenders hate. Keep in mind, everybody, you know, for journalistic and, you know, integrity mm-hmm. here, we have a former bartender with us, Seth, I was a bouncer for a while. I don't know if that counts, but we'll see if that, that throws.
There might be some crossover.
Maybe. We'll see. Number one on the list, when you open and close your tab a million times, honest, you're not just having one.
Yeah. Why even have a tab then?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just pay as you go. Seriously, it doesn't matter if the bartender doesn't care as long as you're, you know, do one or the other, please.
I don't, even friends who are with that guy or that person, it can be annoying, let alone to the bartender, I imagine. When you order a drink, wait for them to make it and then tack on more. Like, can I have a martini? And when they hand it to you, also four Long Islands. Just put your whole order in at once.
That's anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
At a restaurant, too. Like, you're at like the drive-thru at a restaurant. Don't just say, yeah, is that for your order? Oh, no, I want this, too. It's like, that's very annoying. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that there's, you know, every once in a while it happens, and that's understandable. But there are people that just kind of order that way. That's weird to me.
I'll have a burger, fries, and shake.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll have a burger, fries, and shake? Yes. And then.
As you're getting that, you'll be like, oh, by the way, I'm not done. I'm not done. Like, yeah, yeah. When you ask for just a little ice in your drink and think it means more booze. I haven't heard that one. That's a good one.
Oh, God. I don't know if people realize this, but there is a certain amount of measurement involved in pouring drinks for mixed drinks. An ounce and an eighth is what's called a jigger or a pour.
Mm-hmm.
That is what it is. There's some, you know, there's tops that actually measure it out for you. Used to use a shot glass to do it, which you can still do. But there's that's the actual amount for a drink. If you ask for a double, then you get two of those.
Huh.
But like you said, no. If I just give you less ice, I'm going to give you less ice. It's not going to mean that you're going to get anything else. Yeah. So yeah,
you're not tricking the system here or anything like that. This next one is probably the one that's I haven't looked at this whole list, but the biggest one that I have a biggest issue with. When you think the bartender is into you, and they're not. So flirting with the bartender, essentially, it's their job to be nice, maybe even a little flirty. Like, that's their job. They live on tips. They're going to be nice to you. That doesn't mean they want to marry you.
I have a horror story about that, and it's too long to get complicated to get into here. But it did happen a few times where, you know, like you said, you're supposed to be nice and kind and courteous because we're looking for a little extra tips. You know, that's what we're there for. And they take it too seriously.
It's completely different if the bartender asks you for your number.
Yeah.
This I found because I've had it happen to me. Weirdly. Very weird. That's a weird situation, but I've had it happen at least three times, and every time it was a little weird, but I was okay. But I did not ask for the number. I did not.
No.
I did not. Like, did I flirt back? Yeah. But I didn't. I'm not going to hit on her. I'm not going to, you know,
there's a difference between flirting and you know, like, really going after it.
There's no scenario where I think that's cool. That's a good way to treat somebody. Like, they're just trying to do their job.
Yeah.
Like, leave them alone. Like, you know, fine. Are you that bad at dating? Are you that desperate that you're going to, like, you're just basically going to hit on somebody who it's their job to do this? And that's basically you going to the strip club to fall in love, to date, to find a date. Like, what are you doing? You're doing this wrong.
This is very wrong.
Look, I am the last person to tell anybody what is the right way to date and right and wrong way. But there are certain things in our society that kind of tell you, hey, these people are doing a job.
You can be pretty confident about a couple. I think you're good in that one. Yeah.
Ordering a pitcher is great and makes their job easier until you spill it.
Most of the places I worked in do a lot of pitcher stuff, so I don't have to worry about that. But no, exactly. Then it's a huge mess, yeah.
I'll never forget when we were first, like, 21, 22, my friend Chris and I would go to this bar, Huey's. It's not around anymore, but that was our go-to bar.
Oh, yeah.
And Huey knew us and everything, and it was that one, you know, kind of like Norm and Cheers, like, hey, guys, it was that. Uh-huh. And Chris loved, I think it was Rolling Rock. I think that was his drink. And Huey would bring us, like, instead of just grabbing us one after another and everything, because they would get busy, he'd just bring us a pitcher. And so one time, this has happened a couple of times, we come in, we sit down. Hey, Hugh, before we even have said anything, he's brought our pitcher over and puts it right in between us, and he leaves. And Chris and I look at each other like, do we have a problem? Do we have a problem?
Wait, is something wrong here? There's something wrong here, yeah.
Maybe. Because it was all really cool and everything at first. It's like, man, yeah, this is our bar. They know what we drink and all that. After a couple of times, it's like, wait a minute. Like,
is this actually a good thing?
Are we spending too much time here? Are we getting mail delivered here?
Bad sign.
When you ask what beers they have and they list 27 different options, then you say, at Bud Light. That I could see that being frustrating.
You know what you're gonna drink, you know, just don't ask what if it, you know, or when you get to the beer you want, just say it then instead of having to go through the entire list.
Yeah,
come on. Or if, you know, it's easier if you know, as what do you have on tap? Because usually you have, you know, four or five. Some places had a lot more than that, but, you know, then it's easier to just say, oh, we've got this, this, and this, and then whatever. But if you have a lot of bottled beer, that can get a little annoying.
Yeah. When you walk in 5 minutes before they close or see chairs on the tables and say, hey, can I get a drink?
Again, any restaurant.
Yeah.
This is anyone who's worked in food service, basically.
Even when I worked at the gas station, almost every weeknight it would happen. Like, we close at midnight. So sure enough, 5 minutes to midnight, somebody comes in there asking for change or wants to stroll around and grab something to drink, and they're taking forever. And you've already mopped the floors, and they walk everywhere you mopped.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. When you ask for a weird off-the-wall drink and act surprised when they've never heard of it before.
To would-be bartenders out there, do not be shy. Do not think you have to know all the drinks. Just go and say, oh, you know, be good about it. Don't be mean or sarcastic. Just say, oh, I've never, well, what is in that? You know, just ask them nicely. And generally, now occasionally people will order drinks and they have no idea what's actually in the drink. They just had it before and they liked it. Then you're in trouble because then you don't really have any recourse there. Then you offer them something alternative. If you know kind of what it tastes like, then you can always say, oh, well, you know, well, we don't really have the ingredients if it's one of those that's more complicated. Or if it's just like, you know, sorry, I don't really know what that is. Can I offer you a whatever in term? So try to, you know, the customer service has still got to be there. But, yeah, you have to find a way around it.
Don't, to make this full circle, don't be blasé about your ordering. You know, on this blasé day where they encourage people to be blasé about things. Don't be blasé about this stuff.
Yeah.
Just make a decision. That's another thing that I noticed, too, with bartending or restauranting or anything. The, you know... and especially in this customer service world where everything's about timing and getting the job done and everything, like, have a plan when you're going into these things. You know your taste buds. You know them better than anybody.
I'm sorry, I'm reminded of that scene from Ant-Man where the guy goes into Baskin Robbins like, can I have a burger?
Right, yeah. When you try to be helpful by wadding up napkins and putting them inside your empty glass, now they have to dig in there and get them out. Yeah.
The worst. The absolute worst. And this is why I hated putting garnishes on beer bottles.
Yes.
It would end up in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. I could see that being a real problem.
Yeah.
And finally, when you're drunk at the end of the night, look at your receipt. Now, hey, wait a minute. This ain't right. This can't be right. This cannot be right. That's not really the greatest conversation, even when you're sober.
No,
but
it's
when
not.
You're drunk and trying to prove a point, like, there ain't many things that can go wrong quicker.
To be fair, I never had this problem because no one ever looked at their receipt.
At this
point, that's very rare that they would look at their receipt when they're in that state. Then they're like, they're just going to be, I'll be on their way. They're happy usually. And they're like, oh, I'll just be on my way.
Like the dollar store is where I see that happen the most. And I don't know what it is about people where they think they can haggle with a department store or, you know, a retail store or something like that. Like, I don't know where that started or why people, like, think that. But, like, you know, you can't haggle these prices or anything.
Like, they're set by, like, the corporate office. I mean,
I'm standing there in line sometimes just listening. It's always the person, they get the receipt afterwards, and then they want to start talking about stuff and everything and hold up the line. And it's like, well, I mean, you saw them bringing it up or at the very least, I mean, you know, get your stuff, go out of line, and then come back when the line is done or something like that. I don't know. There's a lot about customer service that we could all be a little bit better about. This is kind of speaking to a lot of that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with a That Ain't Right story, then some good stories of the day, and plenty more fun coming up on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you to take it to the top of the hour and wrap up the morning show for the week. I ran out of coffee. Good luck, everybody. It's going to be tough on our morning magazine guests.
Yeah, man.
It'll be fun. We're going to have a great time. For Morning Magazine today, in part one, we're going to welcome in Stephen and Katrina Hintner from Family Natural Foods. Really look forward to hanging out with them. Always a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And then in part two, we'll talk best Christmas ever with Jan and Matt. They're going to join us. Looking forward to that. That's going to be a real fun way to wrap up the week.
Yeah.
And of course, keep in mind, we got Badger football on the radio. It's going to kick off right at 11, I believe. So we're looking forward to that.
Yep.
It'll be really fun.
See how they end up their tournament. I believe they're playing USC today.
Yeah, so. Thank you for double-checking on that, too, because I was pretty sure they were playing the Trojans, but I wasn't 100%. Yep. So that should be a really good game, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. Not looking forward to this story here. If you're flying for any of the holidays here, double-check that suitcase before you zip it up.
Uh-oh.
Especially if you have small pets.
Oh, no.
The TSA found a cat in a guy's checked luggage on Tuesday at JFK Airport. An agent saw some fur poking out from where the two zippers met.
Oh, no.
So they opened it up and found an orange cat staring back at them.
Oh, no.
The bag had already been checked and gone through an X-ray machine, but luckily the cat is fine. His name is Smells.
Wait, you named your own cat Smells?
You named the cat Smells.
Oh, man. One of the cat doesn't like you.
Yeah, yeah. It turned out it wasn't even the guy's cat. He told airport officials Smells belongs to a woman he was staying with in Brooklyn, so they thought maybe he was trying to steal the cat and called her to see if she wants to press charges. She didn't even know Smells was missing. Said the whole thing was a mistake. He just really likes suitcases and must have crawled in there.
Oh, wow.
And that I actually have seen. Mm-hmm. A lot of cats like suitcases. I don't know what it is necessarily. It's just
laundry.
It's comforting for them. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because cats like to lay in warm laundry and stuff. And I'm guessing it saw the folded clothes or whatever in there. Like, oh, look, that's a nice place, comfy place to lay down, right? Yeah.
That is hilarious.
That is funny.
So he went to JFK to pick Smalls up and was worried he might be traumatized by the whole thing. But she says he's been totally normal, like nothing ever happened.
It's a cat.
It's a cat.
They roll with these things, man.
Cats could teach lessons on how to deal with trauma. They really could. Cats go through so much, and they just seem to keep rolling with it.
They keep rolling with it. Got to give them credit for that.
Yeah. That's a crazy story.
Yes.
And something you said earlier, that cat going to have a lot of stories.
Yeah.
Cat's going to exaggerate that story so much.
Oh, you know it.
Yeah.
You know it.
An animal rescue group in Pennsylvania found a microchip in a stray cat and got it back to its owners 7 years after it went missing.
Whoa. Wow.
That may be one of the longer ones I've ever heard of.
7 years?
Yeah.
Wowza.
Wow. Two best friends in Canada hit the lottery for $1 million this summer, and they've already given a bunch of it away. They're using a sizable chunk to help nonprofits and help other organizations in their hometown. We actually did a full story on this in our Good Stories of the other day.
I remember that, yeah.
That was a good story. That was
fun. Very good story.
And a couple in Oregon just had twins that came from embryos frozen 30 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Heard a little bit about this story, but man, it's interesting. If you're curious about science or any of these things, I think it's a real interesting.
Yeah.
By all accounts, it's a new record. The previous record was 27 years.
Mm.
The embryos were donated by an anonymous couple back in 1992 and kept at almost 200 degrees below zero this whole time. Both babies are doing great.
Wow.
New dad Philip Ridgway says the craziest part to him is he was only 5 when they were conceived by their birth parents 30 years ago.
Blow my mind.
I have a hard time wrapping my mind even around that.
Wow.
Like, I have a little trouble with time travel movies sometimes.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I'll admit that. I have a little trouble every once in a while. Like, this really takes the cake, though. This is, I mean.
That is, wow. That is crazy, man. Oh, jeez.
I don't even
know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I have no idea what to do with that other than science.
Yeah.
Science is amazing.
It is.
It's quite interesting and kind of freaky sometimes.
Sometimes it's very freaky, let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, not in a bad way. Just.
Yeah.
I think this is pretty cool, too. And this one comes to us from the Good News Network. I'm not going to go through the whole article or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But loss of climate-crucial mangrove forests has slowed to near negligible amount worldwide, reports have hailed.
Yes, I read a story about that. It's an amazing story.
I've got to bring some attention to this one.
Mm-hmm.
They are one of the most unique and fundamental types of forests on our planet. Mm-hmm. And for a few decades, they were being lost at a rate that seemed soon to be fatal. But with the 2022 State of the Mangrove Report, a new picture is emerging of changing trends and attitudes towards these trees, mm-hmm. which have a crucial role in easing the effects of climate change.
Yes.
This is the second annual report, and it uses a brand new global mangrove watch satellite maps that provide much more detail for this year's analysts. And globally today, 42% of all mangrove forests lie under some level of protection. The updated maps calculated show this and show some positiveness to this.
Yes, the big thing about mangrove trees is the amount of carbon they trap is about the highest of any plant, and that's why they are so important. Not only because when they're living, they trap all this. When you cut them down, they release all of that carbon dioxide, which is the problem. So having, you know, getting them back on their feet like they've been doing. And it's been a really remarkable story. There's been a couple articles on it. I would seek them out because it's really remarkable.
It's really, really interesting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in that world right now going on that I think it should be, you know, read up more on.
Good stories.
You guys are our other good story. Thank you so much for being the best listeners in radio. We appreciate you hanging out with us all week long here on the morning show. We got great stuff coming up next week. Of course, be listening for that. Seth, you have yourself a good weekend.
You too, my brother.
Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you soon and later. Stick around for Morning Magazine and Badger Basketball coming up right here on, well, Katrina, since you're going to be coming in Morning Magazine, would you mind doing the ID?
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.